You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of The Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazney Lambre. And back like he never left, back as always, my brother Nando Vila. What's going on, man?
Not much. I'm feeling a little under the weather. May have the bug, but I'm not sure if I got it. But a lot of people around me got it, and I don't feel too good. If you're watching on the video, I know most people listen to it on audio.
Podcast,
if you're watching
on
the video, I've looked better. You know, I've looked hotter. You know, I don't look too great right now.
Yes, Nando has the germ, and so he's not looking and feeling as dreamy as he generally does. But we're gonna pick him up today and keep it going. Today's show, man. We love talking about the quote unquote discourse on the left and in left media, left culture, as it relates to race and race relations and anti-blackness or anti-racism, all this other shit out there. Chet Hanks went on this Showtime show conducted by this woman named Zeewe, who's a former Instagram celeb, whatever. It's caused a bit of a shit storm. And I do want to talk about that because it just, again, it's just perfect for the stupidity that we're mired in as it pertains to the discourse. But first, you know, I wanted to get into the abortion front. It's kind of crazy, man. We go from Ukraine war, which obviously is a big deal, but sucks up pretty much all the media oxygen, to this, you know, the Supreme Court's about to overturn Roe v. Wade and make it so that states can basically deny women abortions if they feel like it. And it's caused this uproar and people are this and they're that. And, you know, obviously the Dems, because always they're caught wrong-footed and they're the protectors of liberty, Nando, and they just fail at every turn. But we should keep electing them and keep putting them up there because they're so effective at it. Anyway, the vote to codify abortion into law stalled in the Senate because obviously the Democrat was never going to happen that way. Allegedly, Susan Collins and some other Republicans who, you know, I guess I heard they believe in abortion rights. They're going to put something together. We know that's going nowhere. I just thought it was just hilarious, you know, this last ditch sort of, hey, you know, we're the ones who are going to protect constitutional rights and civil rights and blah, 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 and a woman's right to choose. And it's us. And what they do is just, you know, the most piss poor half-ass effort at anything. Like, these things that they tell us are like four alarm blazes and why we need to be scared of Republicans because they're going to help us. And this is their answer to this, Nando.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, this vote was, you know, obviously like a foregone conclusion. I mean, it's pretty telling that I didn't even know it was going on before it happened, before I started seeing the news that it was, that it happened, you know, because the Democrats didn't do anything to make it known that it was happening. You know, they didn't like, what is their plan? What is the plan to reverse this?
Hold on one second, bro.
Yeah.
Just one second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I lit a candle and there was like some papers like uncovered close to it. Go ahead. So to go back to the dumb. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that it's just you know, this vote happened without me even knowing that it was going on. And I'm a pretty avid news consumer. Like I'm watching, I'm paying attention. And then all of a sudden I start seeing tweets like, the abortion bill died. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even know what was happening. And that's telling because usually if you want something to pass, you mobilize a campaign around it. You make noise about it. You engage with grassroots organizations. You get people out on the streets, whatever. This is what we got. Okay, this is what we got. Was, do you want to hear? Do you want to zoom out what we got in the wake of Roe v. Wade being overturned by the Supreme Court? We got a failed vote in the Senate, but we got a successful vote in the Senate to protect Supreme Court justices from protesters outside their homes. Because after the Roe v. Wade news came out, some people went out and protested in front of Kavanaugh's house and in front of Alito's house and whatever. And everyone was horrified that people would dare show up at these people's houses and protest outside their house. Nothing happened, by the way. There was no violence. Nothing happened. There was just protesters outside their homes. And the Democrats who control the House and Senate immediately, like in record time, like passed a bill to like protect Supreme Court justices from protesters in their homes. This is true. Look it up. Meanwhile, the other bill that just sailed through no dissent was $40 billion for Ukraine, you know, in arms,
of course,
weapon sales. Of course. $40 billion. That's like a shit ton of money, you know, like
for the Ukrainians. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Again, a country that really we have no actual strategic interest in. This is ostensibly, I guess, human rights. I don't know. I don't fucking know what it is. Well, but
like, even if you do care, like if you care about like Ukrainian lives or whatever, if Ukrainian lives matter, like sending them a bunch of fucking like flooding a country with weapons and
and hoping for the best.
Yeah, it's just like, all right.
Yeah. We did it. We did our part.
Yeah, we got a bunch of guns here. People, you know, like it's working out fine for us. You know, like how about you try it? It's great. And that one sailed through this week, and then the abortion one didn't sail through. And like I just like am shocked at like even the lack of pretending to do something about it from the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Like they don't even like they're not even pretending to have a plan. They're not, you know, they're not like necessarily running on this, you know, they're not, they're just kind of being like, well, that happened. That sucks.
So like, here's the thing that this is why this exposes this, and not that I'm the bellwether of anything like that, but like, I see this Roe v. Wade shit. I read as much shit as I can about it. I listen to a couple of podcasts and my ultimate conclusion is that the court is illegitimate, right? Like these people, like this is super undemocratic. These people who are appointed for a lifetime, like this is illegitimate. This decision is illegitimate. And how I know it's illegitimate is that 2/3 of the country are in favor of the thing that they just overturned. Like it's undemocratic. Nobody wants this shit for real. There's a couple of God botherers, crazy people who think that, you know, like they think it's fucked up if sex doesn't have consequences or whatever. You know, I don't even know what they're so mad about. Those homies are pissed off and literally nobody else. And everybody is like, nobody's like invested, like, yo, they shouldn't get to do it. There are plenty of people who's just like, oh, I personally would never get an abortion, you know, which is not the same as nobody should be allowed to do that. And again, we don't need to get into the, like, there's no merit to this anti-abortion argument, but it's like, I see and read all of this stuff and I'm just like, all right, yeah, the court is kind of illegitimate and I see no reason why we should honor kind of anything that these people are about. The Dems' answer is not that. It's like, no, the court is great. The court is perfect. The court is capable of doing something this anti-democratic. But you know, the answer isn't like, wow, this shit is bullshit. Maybe we need to look into, you know, delegitimizing this entire operation. If these homies think they could come in and just basically change the law of the land like that. Six dudes and a chick, you know, five dudes, excuse me, and a chick. Nah, instead their answer is like, leave these precious people alone. They're great. The court is great. We're going to pretend on one hand that what they did is fucked up and it's bullshit and it's like, you know, cataclysmic. But on the other hand, it's like, no, these people need protection. It's kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's they love the court because they love, you know, the meritocracy. They love like these elite people. They love like, you know, they're like, oh my God, these are like, and like they used to love doing like the kind of thing. It's like, you know, remember when Scalia was in the court and he's like this like insane conservative and they're like, you know, I may disagree with him, but God damn it, he's a brilliant jurist. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, what are you talking about? Like, who are you trying to impress?
He's
like
a brute. Who are
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Like, he's a fucking, you know, raging conservative psychopath. You know, like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Just shut the fuck up. Right. And they love doing that kind of thing. And it's, you're right. I mean, the court is, if you think about it, it's nine people have who are appointed for life and just completely outside of any democratic accountability, just control, have a huge amount of power in this country. And that's ridiculous. Like, that is just anti-democratic. It's fundamentally, like you said, it's just anti-democratic. Like, if you believe in democracy, if you believe in the people's will being kind of the thing that prevails, something like the Supreme Court is completely anti-democratic. And, you know, there's ways to have, I mean, you should have a court, you need courts, obviously. But there's reforms that can be done to make it more democratic. You know, and beyond that, like just this idea that it has to be these nine people and that there's nothing that can be done. I mean, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that it should be nine people. Like it could be 10, yeah. It could be 11. It could be like, they could put three justices in right now. Like the Democrats could do that. They could do that tomorrow. You know,
like some of these lower courts have like 20 people on them, 25 people. Absolutely. Completely absolutely. Fine.
yeah, absolutely. Like they could do it. You know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says they can't. So again, they you know, if they really wanted to do anything about it, and this is what's so often people like get tied up in trying to decide whether the Democrats are stupid and weak or corrupt and evil. And the reality is that it's all four things. It's all of it because, you know, often when something bumps up against a ruling class interest, you know, that is proposed by progressives or whatever, the Democrats will like actively go and kill it. But abortion is not like, you know,
it's not a ruling class interest. No,
no, no. They don't give a shit. I mean, they're not worried about it.
No.
Right.
If somebody in the ruling class needs an abortion, they will get the abortion. Like, if they say, yo, you can't do it in America, I'll send somebody to Canada, Mexico, whatever. Yeah, I don't care. Like, wherever they got the best abortions, I'll send my person. Yeah. I'll have my mistress or nanny get the abortion and it's over. Like, who gives a shit? I don't give a fuck. This is not an issue that actually affects the ruling class at all.
But my point is though, like, but it's also not an issue where the ruling class has any interest in it at all. So like the Democrats, like, don't have, you know, they don't have their donors like yelling at them being like, you know, so they could, you know, they could do more, but they don't. I mean, they've just like so absorbed their own helplessness and their own loserdom. Like they're such fucking losers.
Yeah, I used to think that this was the kind of third rail issue that the base actually gave a fuck about, and that, you know, like it's actually something that the Democratic Party's base is passionate about. And I was like, man, like this is like a real bellwether like type of thing, and I feel like they got to take this type of shit serious because the base, like across the board, is like, bro, like people should have access to abortions. But man, I'm starting to think I don't think that shit even matters, bro. Like I really don't. Well,
the sad reality is that in the states where Democrats are kind of strong, like in California and New York or whatever, like, you know, you're still gonna be able to get an abortion. You know what I mean? Like so. And I think the base, quote unquote, understands that on some intrinsic level. I mean, I think everyone's like really offended and up in arms by the outrage, and they should be. Like, this is really like, but you know, in the states where Democrats aren't strong, that's where abortion is gonna go away.
And I have to fight the instinct myself, Nando, to be like, I mean, isn't this what they want in Arkansas? Like, you know, like, no. Except that, I mean, that's not this case. Like, there are plenty of people in Arkansas who will need this and should have it. You know, sometimes, man, I got to fight the urge to just be like, you know, we get the democracy we deserve in a certain, at a certain point, in my opinion, where it's just like, people are getting what they want, you know, like, and it's far be it for me to be like, oh, you shouldn't have that. Like, a lot of times, like, it feels like, you know, like, say in red states, like, people don't care that people die from guns. They see it as a necessary evil. And, like, I don't know what to say about that. Me personally, I loved the completely draconian and just crazy gun laws in New York City. I was like, this is great. Like, if you even, like, you don't even have to use a gun. If you are found to have a gun in New York by the cops, you're going to jail for 2 years. You know, Plaxico, Little Wayne, it doesn't matter how much money you got. Like, if you have a gun, and everybody in New York who might illegally obtain one knows this. So, like, if they're carrying one, it's like people are just less likely to be out with a gun. Somebody might have a problem with somebody, go home, go get it, be like, stew over it. All right, I'm still going to go use it. But that's kind of how it has to go. But, like, I'm like, man, that's a great fucking thing. Like, I love that. Conversely, people in these other places are just like, nah, like, I like that people could, like, a shootout can happen at any time. And they're getting what they want. You know, like, it feels like the vast majority of the citizenry is on board with something like that. You know, but abortion is just a little bit different in the sense that, like, not getting one for certain people can have such disastrous outcomes. You know, it's just a little bit different, but I hope people understand what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. I mean, no, I get it. I mean, but it's true that, in abortion, like the lack of access to abortion, you know, the United States has the highest rate of maternal mortality in the developed world. Like, out of any rich country, the United States is dead last in maternal mortality rate. And a huge reason for that is obviously a lack of general access to healthcare. I mean, right? That's one of the biggest. But abortion is, you know, a big aspect of women's healthcare, and especially like if a woman's having complications or whatever, like the inability to abort might lead to death. So this is going to, like, absolutely lead to just another spike in maternal mortality rate. And yeah, I mean, I think that. The lack of political, the problem in the United States is that the bums lost. You know, like the Lionel Lebowski. You probably, I don't know if you ever see Lebowski, but the bums lost. Like the bums lost Lebowski. You know, like that there was this opening kind of in the 20th century between basically FDR, the New Deal, and then Reagan. Where democracy was more active, politics was more active. People felt that their politics actually mattered. Obviously, it coincided, as we talk about all the time, with the large and powerful labor movement. But once the labor movement was destroyed, politics was kind of destroyed, and mass politics was kind of destroyed. So people have internalized that they can't really do much. I mean, like we've talked about this all the time. Like, dude, it was 2 years ago, the largest protest in American history after George Floyd's death. And, like, literally nothing happened. There's, like, a backlash to defund the police, you know, like, nothing just a slogan. And it probably even set that cause back in a way, you know what I mean? Like, in many real ways, like the system can so tamp down any sort of dissent and any sort of political action so effectively and so thoroughly, not just from, you know, the media, which we talk about, like, a lot, like all the propaganda that we get and every single day, but also just the literal structures of government, you know, are so anti-democratic, whether it's the Supreme Court or the Senate or our presidential system. Like, other countries are just more democratic. Like, in other countries, like, I don't know, like in Spain, if you win and the left wins, like they pass all kinds of shit, you know, like
we won, we get to pass stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We won, we get to pass it, you know, like, and then the other guys win and they pass shit, you know, like, right. but that's how it works. It's like, so people, that's why people participate, because, and people get fired up about it and they actually participate in it because like they have a system in which like when the side, their team wins, they get to pass the shit, you know, like that was always like the big promise of Jeremy Corbyn in the UK. Over even someone like Bernie, is that had Corbyn gotten in, he was going to pass everything, you know, like they were going to pass shit and they were going to implement the shit, you know, whereas Bernie would have been hamstrung by like the Senate and Congress.
Oh my God, it would have been so nasty. He would have been getting it from all sides. Like y'all think this cinema and mansion thing is bad now. Bernie would have got in there. It would have been, he would have just had to just do nothing but fucking
executive
orders. Cause like these people would have been up his ass, bro. It would have been insane. Yeah. And so, yeah, man, you watch how ineffectual the Democrats are. It's just sad. It's pathetic. I feel bad for any listeners who we have in red states where these people are going nuts. And you know,
they're already passing like the laws, like the laws.
Oh
like,
yeah,
some of the laws were like triggered. You know, they had like this trigger mechanism. So like they haven't officially overturned, or like this was like a leaked document. So the decision. But like the day it happens, like there's these laws that are like triggered laws that just like immediately go into place. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. And so whatever, I would encourage people to still follow the Dems and the bullshit that they're doing just to watch them, you know, spin their wheels here. But I do want to move on to this Ziwi and Chet Hanks interview. Right. I remember in 2019 when he went viral. It's so funny, Nando, because I want to.
Were you offended as a Caribbean, as a black Caribbean?
Here's the thing. Here's the funniest thing about that. Here's the funniest thing about that. I remember laughing about it when he did the fake Patois Jamaican Trini accent, whatever he was doing. And people being up in arms about it. As somebody who grew up in a place like Flatbush, Brooklyn, where all of the Caribbean diaspora is there. Trinidadians, people from Barbados, Haitians like myself, Jamaicans, you name it, they're there. The sort of language that develops in and around those neighborhoods is a sort of patois of West Indian dialects, right? Like it's mostly Jamaican, but it's kind of Trinidadian too, and it's kind of Haitian too, and it's like the sort of way that people speak incorporates all of this shit, right? And like the idea that I might say bumbaclot or brethren or wawan or whatever, it's not an appropriation. It's just like when you're around a certain type of people, you're gonna talk like them.
Yeah.
Chet Hanks is not oppressing black people. He's not performing anti-blackness by making a fool of himself on a fucking red carpet. It's like, what is wrong with people? And so, you know, it comes back around. And, you know, just to be clear, this Ziwi chick, she started going viral because of her Instagram interviews with like clueless celebs she was like doing gotcha interviews, wrong-footing them about questions pertaining to race, and it went viral and whatever. Who gives a fuck, right? Like, you're wrong footing celebs about race. Like, who cares what these people think? But I think like the Chet Hanks thing, where it's like Chet Hanks could be made the public enemy number one of black people because he speaks publicly in Jamaican patois or a horrified butchered version of it, is like basically everything we get wrong today in the discourse, you know. So on the interview, Nando, and we're going to try to splice this thing in, where she asked him like, oh, like, what do people think that, what about people that say you're offending, you know, black people and there's appropriation? He's like, I don't care.
Do you want to apologize to any marginalized communities?
He's like, no. He's not, it's like, no, no. And in so much as Jamaican people are a group of marginalized people, Chet Hanks's use of fucking, you know, of Jamaican patois in his terrible music or in a stupid red carpet interview, like, that shit ain't got nothing to do with colonialism, fam. Like, this is absurd.
So you introduced the world to your Jamaican accent on the red carpet of the 2019 Golden Globes.
Big up the whole island, massive. It's your boy Chetana coming straight from the Golden Globes, you know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like you inspired a generation of boys, white boys particularly, to speak in patois?
I don't know. I think I did kind of make the patois accent more like a little more trending, I guess. I think I was like, I mean, like, aside from like Jamaican culture itself and Caribbean culture itself, which is obviously very, you know, vibrant, I was like the first person to like kind of like get in the conversation, like, of just recent times.
Can I say some patois words to you? Tell me what you think. Small up yourself.
Huh?
You know what small up yourself means in patois?
Smile or
small or up small? Yourself.
Small.
What? Oh, do you even speak patois?
I mean, not really.
Not really?
I was like the first person to like kind of like get in the conversation. I just know a couple things. Things, you know what I mean? Couple two tree things.
Bumbo clan!
What does that mean to you?
You can't really put it in words. It's beyond words. It's like the Tao. It's beyond words. You can't put it in.
Bumbo clan is beyond words.
It can't be contained.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, like, if I put on like my producer brain, like when I used to produce shows, like genius producer decision by Z-Way's showrunner or Z-Way herself to book Chet Hanks. And honestly, Chet Hanks like is a good sport. Like, honestly, like,
he's a good sport. I like the guy from watching the interview. Yep.
Totally. Like, I think, like, most normal people watch that. Like, if they're not like kind of super poisoned by
internet discourse,
like, being on Twitter all day, like a normal human being like watches that, and like one person comes off as like being aggressive and mean, and the other guy comes off as like chill and like comfortable in his own skin and just like trying to have a good time and not doing anything too mean or horrible. Like, he's just like a dumbass, obviously. Like, that's very obvious. But he's largely harmless, you know? Like, he's just incredibly harmless. Like, it's like the last thing, like, apologize to marginalized communities. It's like, for what? You know, like, this... I've always been kind of baffled and... I don't say, like, troubled or whatever, but, like, kind of perturbed by the speed and thoroughness in which the idea of cultural appropriation as like this incredible crime has taken root in left spaces and even like liberal spaces and like pretty mainstream, even like it's become pretty mainstream that like this idea of cultural appropriation is like it's like many things that have been warped. It started off in very kind of small corners of academia for like a very specific reason. Like, there has to be like some, like, an actual theft, you know what I mean? Like, it's like and then it just kind of gets popularized and morphed and then becoming kind of this totalizing force. I wonder how like Eminem would be received if he came out today, you know? Like there's a degree into which cultural sharing can be like a really good thing, you know, like,
by the way, and these are the same people who out of the other side of their mouth talk about multiculturalism. Yeah. Like, it's the same people. How can you hold these two things in your head that you want an appreciation for multiple cultures, but Chet Hanks can't try to pull off a Jamaican accent? It's like, but again, I think the problem is this isn't just annoying white guilt, white people. A lot of it is like the internalization of some of the most racist and terrible vitriolic things that terrible white people have said in the past about black people. Like, these people have internalized this shit. And so when they hear Chet Hanks do a bad accent because he's white, it's like making them feel bad. And it's just, instead of the opposite of just like, no, this guy is an idiot in that moment. Not that he's, you know, fucking Christopher Columbus bringing yellow fever to the Native Americans. Like, this shit ain't the same. Like they internalize this shit. And to me, a lot of these people are just telling on themselves, because everything becomes basically, is white, does whitey view us the right way?
Yeah.
Everything about how they feel about themselves, their, you know, their self-identity is like, yo, this is like, this guy's embarrassing our culture in front of whitey. He's mocking our culture. He's doing, like, how can this dude mock, how can somebody this ridiculous mock Jamaican culture? And the best part of it is that Jamaican people don't care. That's the best. That's the part that just like, that like blows my mind the most. And I think Chet Hanks, the only reason, like, this is obviously a guy who spent time hanging out with Jamaicans and think Jamaican culture is cool, because let's face it, it fucking is. And like, he's talked to actual Jamaicans, and I can tell he goes into that interview with the confidence being like, no, like, Zeewee, I've actually talked to Jamaicans and they don't hung out give there. A fuck.
Yeah.
They don't care. This is not something that the everyday
Donald Glover cast him in Atlanta, and he did the Trinidad. He did like a Trinidad or whatever accent. And, you know, he's making fun of himself. Like, he's clearly making fun of himself. Like, he's a good sport about it. You know what I mean? Like,
this isn't a thing, y'all.
At one point in the interview, Zeewee mockingly says, you know, because he starts saying, like, you know, I wish people could just be like, hey, we're all in this thing. Like, we're all Americans. Like, you know, like, we should just all races and all, you know, should get together and, like, you know, celebrate each other. Like, he says, like, something, and he obviously is like he's like a dumbass, so he says it in like an inarticulate way.
Right,
basically, like, yo, we should people of different
races stick together. Yeah, we should get together.
And she's like, oh, so you're just like, and she's like mocking him, and she's like, you're just like Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King wanted the same thing, and he's like,
absolutely. Martin Luther King
wanted, you know. But like, that scene is ridiculous, right? In certain
spaces
and in like liberal media, it's taken as a fact that, like, just that idea that we're all, you know, we share something, that we share some connectivity, that you can celebrate difference, but also celebrate the fact that we share a lot of things, like, as humans, is, you know, a human project, that there is a sort of you know, shared pain and misery that all humans suffer just for being human, you know, and that we all broadly want the same things in a certain way, and, you know, and try to build those links of solidarity between different cultures and races instead of celebrating the differences between them. Like, we should celebrate each other and, like, oh wow, like, that this is amazing. Like, you go to anywhere and be like, shit, your music is awesome, your food is incredible, your dancing is in, like, banana, whatever, you know, like, and that should be great. But then we can also recognize that we're all part of the same human race or whatever. Like, that's a kind of totally banal thing to say, and totally should be pretty standard, and was, you know, I mean, I know people like misappropriate a lot of what Martin Luther King says, but like, he did say that shit all the time. I mean, he was also very radical and very like, but he did have these kind of like broad universalist notions about
building. Like, Chet Hanks wasn't he wasn't belittling this shit. It was obvious that he admires this shit and thought it was cool. That was the part that I think is hilarious. And, you know, I know this movie gets killed on this program all the time, but like, that people are more offended at Chet Hanks than Black Panther is like basically all you need to know about everything. Like, that people eat up Black Panther and how condescending that fucking shit is, and how, like, stupid it all is, and that they love it, they eat it up and don't find it to be offensive. Like, really, this the pander? A fake-ass nation in Africa of geniuses and all of this fucking dumb shit, and Chet Hanks drives them up a wall? It's like, this is all you need to know, bro. Like, this is why the quote-unquote discourse is obtuse and just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, team. I hate to say this, but I mean, because he's a fucking idiot. Like, obviously, he's just like a dumbass, but like, he's so harmless that he's clearly just like trying to have a good time, and he's clearly like doesn't want to like hurt anyone, and he's just trying to like, you know, like.
Chet Hanks, next time you're in LA, call me, man. Let's get together. Let's
well, do some, you know, he has some
drinks in Venice, Fernando.
he has a personal training business. I think we should sign up and do personal training lessons with
for sure. Let's do it. Anyway, man, that's our show for today. I would encourage everybody to go watch that Zeewee interview on Showtime. It's pretty good. It was fun, even if a little bit tone deaf. But go check that out. Make sure you become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. Check out everything else we got going on the network. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.